And now we arrive at the gospel. And you'll see now, I think, why all the other readings, you see, are leading up to this text. And this is from Luke 12, 32-48. It's a part of that discourse, eschatological, if you will, that's sort of in the middle of Luke. Most of the synoptics, like Matthew 24, 25, all that, you know, Mark the same. Well, Luke has that, but he has this other material here. This is beautiful. Starts off, "Do not be afraid," I think is the way they translate it. Yes. Oh, they translated. I didn't realize that. "Do not be afraid any longer, little flock." Grammatically, the word, you see, is a present imperative. Mi phobou. So, "Do not be afraid any longer, little flock, for your Father is pleased to give you the kingdom." Do you know that you're king already? You know, when racial integration began in the cities, oh dear, that was in the 60s. That was a while ago now, thank God, because it's more realized than then. And an African-American couple moved into a neighborhood. They were the first ones there. And they were being harassed a bit. And the kids went and told their dad. And he said, "That's all right. They just don't realize they're living next to royalty. I'm a child of God." And they stayed there, and everything's fine now. But that's what it's saying here, you see. "It is pleased your Father to give you the kingdom." Well, if I've got the kingdom, what's the next thing I ought to do? Now, this is Luke, and it's the Lord. "Sell your belongings and give alms. Provide money bags for yourselves that do not wear out, an inexhaustible treasure in heaven that no thief can reach nor moth destroy. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Now that's amazing, isn't it? How many people, if you just look at yourself, you know, are pretty confident with all the economics up and down and all the rest that's going on? Why? Because I got a lot of money in the bank. Not because I have God for my Father. You see, if I trust God, then I can be generous because I trust God. And so, as we get to this point now, you see, we started off in this. They believed God, and they were ready to set out from Egypt and go. Well, we believe God. Well, if we believe God, I don't have to hang on every penny I've got. Suppose I give some away. Suppose I lend some to people who may not ever be able to pay me back. So what? So what? I don't know, wherever I get to this point thinking about this, I think about a story Mother Teresa told. It was late at night, 10 o'clock or so, in Calcutta, and there was a knock at the door, and there was a woman holding a baby and saying, "Mother Teresa, I haven't had anything to eat all day. My child has not had anything to eat all day. Have you got anything?" Mother Teresa said, "Well, I got one bowl of rice, but here, take it." So the woman took it, turned around, walked down the street, found her friend, who also had a child, and neither of those two had eaten all day, and divided that one bowl of rice in half. Now you see, there's confidence there. There's generosity there. Well, don't you think when that woman dies, that the Lord is going to say, "You were hungry, and your child was hungry, and yet you split your bowl of rice with me." And she's going to say, "I don't remember doing that." He said, "You remember that time you did it? You did it to me." So you see, generosity is the sign of somebody who's living by hope. "Sell your belongings and give alms. Provide money bags for yourselves that do not wear out, an inexhaustible treasure in heaven that no thief can reach nor moth destroy. And isn't that the truth? If we've been trying, as the present Pope is so beautifully reminding us, care for the poor. And when you die, they'll all be there waiting for you. We've been praying for you. The Lord's forgiven your sins. We asked Him to, and He heard our prayer. Come and join us. Instead of clinging to every penny, and then it'll go anywhere. For where your treasure is, there also will your heart be. Now that's very profound. When I'm praying or just going off to sleep or whatever I'm doing, and I start to think about the future, where do I go? To our Lord? To our Lady? To my bank account? To my friends? Where do I go to think what the meaning of my life? Where do I get surety from? From the Lord. And from the fact that I know that if I just don't turn against Him, I yield to His work in my life, I'm going to be with Him forever. So what do I care if I get 50 bucks or not? You know, give it away. Now, you have to be bright about this. You can't turn around then and be so poor you go to beg, unless the Lord tells you to. But, you see, where your treasure is, there your heart will be. And so, you know, if you're thinking all the time about money or about food or about the latest news, that's where your heart is. You see? Gird your loins and light your lamps and be like servants who await their master's return from a wedding, ready to open immediately when he comes and knocks. So, there's a wedding. So at night, you know, all the arrangements have been made, and now the groom and the father-in-law are discussing finances, and they finally get that worked out. By that time, it's usually nightfall, but they've got that worked out. And now the groom comes and takes his wife and leads her to his house, you see? And so so the thing goes on for quite a while. But the master is coming back to his own house, which is you. And so that's why it says, gird your loins and light your lamps to be like servants who await their master's return from a wedding, ready to open immediately when he comes and knocks. In other words, think of where you're going, you see, and what the end of your life is. Blessed are those servants whom the master finds vigilant on his arrival. Do you see again the notion of recollection, of being alert, thinking of what really matters? When was the last time you thought about death? Or the last time you thought about the Lord coming back? They're going to happen. I say to you, he will gird himself, have them recline at table, and proceed to wait on them. The master of the house will come and care for us. And should he come in the second or third watch and find them prepared in this way, blessed are those servants. I could just imagine what the Lord is going to do. He's going to welcome, he's going to come into their house, he's going to sit them all down. This is his house, really. Sit them all down and feed them. Now, the parable of that is every Sunday Mass. If we are been alert, if we've been praying, if we've repented for our sins, we go to confession if we need that too, and we're there at Mass, He is the one waiting on us. This is my body. This is my blood. Take and eat. I'm feeding you with eternal food. You see? Be sure of this. If the master of the house had known the hour when the thief was coming, he would not let his house be broken into. That makes sense. What's he saying? At least be alert about my coming, as you would be if you knew a thief was coming at 11 o'clock tonight. You wouldn't go to bed. You'd stay up, you'd watch. If he came, you'd call the cops. I mean, you'd do something. Well, I don't know if a thief is coming, but I can tell you this. The Lord is coming. Are we ready? You see, at an hour you do not expect, the Son of Man will come. And then Peter, God bless him, he always asks the right question. He's got the guts to ask him. Lord, is this parable meant for us or for everyone? Well, now he means, we're the leaders. Is this meant just for us or for everybody? And the Lord answers, who then is the faithful and prudent steward whom the master will put in charge of his servants? to distribute the food allowance at the proper time. Blessed is that servant. So now this is addressed to everybody, but especially to the leaders. Oh my gosh. Can you imagine being a priest or a bishop and dying and aware that you never cared for God's people? You know, you did your job so you could make sure you got your golf date and your vacation and stuff, but you never cared for them. And now he's coming for you. And blessed is the servant who his master on arrival finds caring for everybody. I tell you, he will put him in charge of all his property. But if that servant says to himself, my master is delayed in coming, and begins to beat the men servants and the maid servants and eat and drink and get drunk. In other words, you know, he takes the money from the parish and pays his country club dues. You know, he's going to find out. You know, and doesn't care for the poor in his parish, doesn't serve those who are troubled, whose marriages, he's busy doing other stuff. He's going to hear about it. He is going to hear about it, you see? That servant's master will come on an unexpected day and at an unknown hour and will punish him severely and assign him a place with the unfaithful. Whoa. That servant who knew his master's will but did not make preparations nor act in accord with his will shall be beaten severely. And the servant who was ignorant of his master's will but acted in a way deserving of a beating shall be beaten only lightly. Much will be required of the person entrusted with much. And still more will be demanded of the person entrusted with more. Think of what that means, my friends, as we try to get these Sunday homilies ready. Are we, you know, studying and doing all that? But are we also listening to the Holy Spirit, who's showing us what vices we have to get rid of so that we can preach with a full heart? You can't get up there and give a report on what everybody else has told you. You have to know. And by golly, you know and I know that the people know. Because if you're someplace and somebody's talking about divine things, in about 5 minutes you know whether that person knows what they're talking about or not. Even if they're quoting, oh, St. Augustine and St. Thomas and St. Ignatius and St. whatever, you know whether they know what they're talking about or not. Well, so do the people. And only when those things are touching you in a living way are they transmittable in a way that helps your people lay hold of them and let the Lord change them. And that's what this is saying, you see. So here's the last advice about being alert, about knowing what's going on. And it's addressed specifically to the leaders, okay? That's why it starts off, sell your belongings, give alms, provide money bags. You see, gird your loins and be like servants who await their master's return. See, and then blessed are those servants. Now he's talking to the servants, who are the leaders, whom the master finds vigilant on his arrival. But he comes, and the guy is neglecting the people, you know, saving money for his golf game or whatever, driving around in a big car. He's going to hear from him. And, you know, you get so used to that, that death finds you surprised. Oh, I didn't realize I was going to die. Well, of course you did. But you didn't take it seriously. Much will be required of the person entrusted with much. And still more will be demanded of the person entrusted with more. The entrustment is not just money and a house and a car. It's also you were given a chance, you priests, me too, for years to study. To be ready to share it with God's people who've got to go out and earn a living and raise their kids and fight with the school principal and all, and you can help them. So much will be required of the person entrusted with much. But if by the mercy of God we do all right, then there's rejoicing all over the place, mostly in us. Amen.